You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from Public Radio International and WNYC in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning. Today, Democratic hopefuls are on the road. Barack Obama in Florida for a second day, trying to make inroads in what will be a crucial general election state.
Wasn't their primary quite a long time ago?
It was quite a long time ago. But not only that, Hillary Clinton was there yesterday, too, though she's in D.C. today before heading to South Dakota, which has a June 3rd primary.
Yes, the campaign is hotly contested even now. And joining us is Howard Wolfson, Communications Director for the Clinton campaign. Thanks for joining us once again, Howard.
Good morning.
It seems to me that Hillary Clinton has framed an argument here about Florida and Michigan that I want to explore with you. Let's first hear from the candidate's voice.
I remember when President Lyndon Johnson addressed the Congress and the nation, urging the passage of the Voting Rights Act. He declared, "I speak tonight for the dignity of man and the destiny of democracy." It was urgent, elevated language, but it was not hyperbole. Now, as back then, those are the stakes.
Howard, that's, of course, Hillary Clinton talking about the voters who she wants to be counted from the Florida primary that was disallowed in the primary campaign because they moved their primary forward. Do you think, though, that comparing the rules of the DNC, which is why the votes aren't being counted in Florida and Michigan, to the Voting Rights Act, which is a much bigger issue of disenfranchisement for voters, is a bit of a stretch here?
Well, I think we have a principle in this country that when people vote, their votes ought to be counted. That's a bedrock principle of our country's democracy. It's a principle that many people have fought for over the years in many different contexts, none as importantly or dramatically as during the Voting Rights Act.
And it's a principle that apparently Harold Ickes of your campaign did not believe in when he voted to approve these rules 2 months ago.
Well, Harold Ickes isn't the candidate, and our candidate believes very strongly that the votes of Florida and Michigan ought to count. 2.5 million people voted in those primaries, the largest turnout in the history of the Florida Democratic Party. This was not a primary in which very few people came out. It was a primary in which a lot of people came out, a record number of people came out. And we believe that when people come out in those kinds of numbers, that their votes ought to be honored and rewarded in by counting them in the way they were cast.
Howard, I don't think anybody would dispute the principle, which is that every vote should count. But what I think I've heard many people say that's particularly troubling is that when you take a look at what happened in Florida and Michigan, it's not as if Hillary Clinton went there despite the ban, sort of in a protest and campaigned. This all came after the fact when Barack Obama seemed to be gaining speed. And so, therefore, now to, in addition to not having those sort of prior protests to this rule that was adopted, to compare it to what's happening in Zimbabwe or to the effort to free slaves in America just is perplexing and a bit disturbing to many.
Well, look, I think there was every expectation by everyone that we would have very low turnout in these primaries, that they wouldn't attract an awful lot of interest or a lot of voters, that having been told that their votes were not going to count, people would stay away from the polls. And in fact, the opposite happened. As I said, we had record turnout in Florida. We had a large turnout in Michigan. And I think people have to take notice of that. Let's put aside who made the decision to disallow Florida and Michigan. It was made by the DNC, but it obviously the elected officials in those states moved the primaries from dates that the DNC had approved.
So right, Howard, look, I love your point, but Adora's question was if Hillary Clinton felt so emotionally connected to the enfranchisement of Florida voters, why didn't she campaign down there against the ban and say, forget the ban, we're campaigning in Florida and Michigan because we think it's ridiculous?
Because there was every expectation that the primaries there wouldn't count under the DNC's rules. There's no question about it that the DNC ruled that these primaries weren't going to count, and there was every expectation that they wouldn't. And if 10,000 people had come out, or 5,000 people, or no one had come out, the primaries wouldn't be counting.
Was there any discussion in the campaign about Voting Rights Act, the disenfranchisement in anticipation of the primaries, or is this just something that
came later?
Well,
there was an awful lot of discussion about the DNC's decision. The DNC's decision was what it was. I'm not going to criticize the DNC. But I think at this point, you know, you can ask about our motivations. You can ask about the Obama campaign's motivations. And by the way, the Obama campaign that claims to be for maximum participation has consistently stood against a revote in Florida and Michigan that both candidates could have participated in and campaigned in. So there are questions for the Obama campaign that I hope you get a chance to ask them. But let's put aside for a moment the motivations of the candidates. I'm going to argue for what my candidates' motivations are. You have appropriate tough questions about them. What do we do about the 2.5 million people who've come out and voted? What do we say to them? What is our obligation to those people? Putting aside the state officials, the candidates, or everyone else, what in our country do we do to honor and count the votes of people who voted?
Howard, I think that point is very well taken, and that's something obviously that the DNC is going to take up next week, or I believe on the 31st. But let's get back to your candidate. There are just 3 more primaries to go. She's headed off to South Dakota. Barack Obama has the majority of pledged delegates. You know, what are you hoping to see in the next week? What are you hoping will happen that would perhaps change the tide in Senator Clinton's favor?
Well, we do have 3 more primaries left, as you say, and I think we'll obviously have to do well in those primaries. The first one of them upcoming is Puerto Rico. We think that we will do well there, and we have to do well there. We did pretty well in Kentucky. We won by 35 points. We did pretty well in West Virginia. We won by 41 points. And that was at a time in which voters in those states were told that their votes were not particularly meaningful in the context of this primary process and that the contest had been decided. And despite that, we had big turnouts and a big victory. So we obviously have to do well in the upcoming states. And then I think clearly we're going to have to make the case to the superdelegates and to the voters in these upcoming states that Senator Clinton would be the best nominee against John McCain. And that's a case that you make based on the states that Senator Clinton has won, the key swing states that she's won, Florida, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, the fact that she's just racking up these large victories here at a time when people are being told that the race is over. And, you know, we are going to continue to make the case.
All right, well, we will
have a nominee.
Thank you, Howard Wolfson, who's communications director for
the Hillary Clinton campaign.
Thanks so much.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.